next 2 hours today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. And the website is lifeguardianfoundation.org. Remember, if you have questions or comments, just email them to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by visiting spingola.chatango.com. Welcome, Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones.
Thank you very much, Deanna, for having us.
Oh, it's just always a delight to have you on the program. It's a very it's a subject that brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it, and it's something that we need to talk about on a regular basis because people don't know about what is going on when they sign up to be an organ donor. They don't understand it, and it's going on and it's being promoted. In every state has a website that you can sign up, and so we need to talk about it. And I recently received an email, which I shared with the both of you, and it just made me sad, and I thought, well, we need to revisit this again. So thank you for joining me. So anyway.
Yes.
Bernice, are you there?
I am. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. We need to talk about this. And we've been talking about it together for the first time that you were on my program was March 15th, 2012. And I think, this is a program. This organ donation situation is just terrible. People really don't know anything about it. And so let's talk about it. Dr. Byrne, you sent me another a memo about the drugs in our society. And the email that I received that I shared with you was about a gentleman that had overdosed on heroin, and so they were going to take his organs. They told the family that he was brain dead, or they said that he had some activity, but anyway, they were setting him up for extraction.
Yes.
And, were you able to talk to those to his parents?
No, communication did not occur directly with his mother or his relatives. But what happens is that the person who is addicted to drugs. And then, for whatever reason, has a great effect from the drug, and they get unconscious, and then they get in an emergency room, and they still are very much alive in every way. Their heart's beating. They have circulation. They have respiration. And but they're young, and in the organ transplant industry, they need healthy organs in order to carry out their activities. And they get healthy organs. The healthiest organs are from the young people. So the drug addict who gets unconscious and gets in that kind of condition, they are susceptible to whatever happens in the emergency room, and they still have a functioning brain, their heart's beating, they have circulation, they have respiration, they're very much alive, but the organ transplant industry wants their drugs and needs their drugs to carry out their business, and so
or their organs, you mean? The transplant
industry. What did you say?
They need their organs, right?
Yes, they need organs. You see, that's what all of the advertisement is about on the billboards and every other place you can think of, that is to sign up to be an organ donor. And so they do that because they need organs for their industry, and the best organs are from young people. And so the addict oftentimes, and maybe more so, tends to be young, and the society in which we live has it set up so that they get organs from living persons, because there aren't any organs that can be obtained from a cadaver. Once somebody is dead and truly dead, their organs are no good for transplantation. So what has occurred is that they have made up this thing called brain death, and then we've been brainwashed to think that brain death means death, when in fact brain death means alive. And in the case of the addict who gets overcome or gets the wrong kinds of drugs, not only they're alive so far as having circulation and respiration, but they're alive because they still have some function of their brain, and there is a chance that they can heal if they give time. But what happens, the communication to the relatives and to everybody that's around, the communication is to get their organs. And to the communication goes that out of this tragedy or tragic events that have occurred, they can make something good out of this by cutting the organs out of their living relative, their living son or daughter who's overcome by the drugs. They can make something good by getting their healthy organs from them and giving them to someone else. And the number of people who are organ donors from overcome from drugs, it just has progressed so that it's four or five times what it was just a couple of years ago. And recently I was in St. Louis, and a particular weekend, they brought in 50 people that were found on the street overcome with drugs. And they didn't know if they got the wrong kind of drugs or what happened to them. But as I was hearing this news coming over the television and the radio, I was thinking, gosh, if someone got the wrong kind of drugs and they don't even know what the wrong kind of drugs are, so there's no way to test for them, and yet if they find a way that they can get their organs, that's what occurs. And it's so awful, first of all, that the person is an addict. That's so awful that their life goes in the direction that it goes in. But it isn't just that person; it's their relatives and their friends. So while that in itself is a tragedy, the drug addict. But then the system of death, which is to get organs, they compound this problem by taking unfair advantage of them and getting their organs. I became aware of this when you sent me that article, but also in the local newspaper in Toledo just a few weeks before that. It was a similar event, and then I began to read about it and read how many more organs are coming from the addicts. And one of the things that was there that trying to justify what they were doing when they invented the Harvard criteria for brain death is that they pointed out how they would exclude drugs because drugs affect the brain in such a way that they don't respond, but they can heal. And then as they did their early studies, it became clear that they really didn't test for drugs all the time. And then no matter what number of drugs they test for, the drugs that might be common that they could test for, the phenobarbital, the marijuana, the heroin, but there are a whole lot of other drugs that make the brain not respond, and they don't test for all of them, and the ones that are the street drugs, the odds are they don't even have a way to test for them. And it just seems to me to be so awful to take unfair advantage and of these people and their family. You know, it's one thing for one for something to happen, but it's another thing for the government to have ways of doing this to us. And so, I mean, it's from my studies, it's clear that the organ donor must be alive. There are no organs that you can get from a cadaver. And to do that is serious enough, but then they have it so they can get the organs from the drug addict, and then they have set up the laws, the Anatomical Gift Act that's already been passed in 47 states, presumes that everyone intends to be an organ donor. And there's a whole lot of people that would say, what do you mean I intend to be an organ donor? And they are caught with by, if you want to call it surprise, but they're caught by not knowing the way the laws are set up. And they're set up already passed in 47 states, the state you're in, Deanna, the state that Bernice is in, the state that I'm in. And it's already passed that it presumes that everyone intends to be an organ donor, and that's simply not true. And it's presumed that everyone has consented to every test to see if their organs are good for someone else, and then to keep their organs in good shape until they can find someone to give them to. So
it's amazing to me, too.
Program,
go ahead. It's amazing to me.
This program is set up. This program is set up to provide information to people. But and we are trying to give the information that's true, that's as complete as we know how to make it, but yet the information that's given to the relatives after someone is unconscious and on a ventilator is all information that's designed to get the organs from their loved ones, from their loved one who is still alive. Because once they go from being alive to being a cadaver, there are no organs you can get for transplantation.
And until I got that email, I never thought about the fact that they would take people who were addicted to drugs. I never dreamed that they would be a vulnerable population, a vulnerable section of the population that they would try to extract organs from. I just never thought about it. And as you indicated in the memo that you sent me, those people who are in emergency rooms, who go into the emergency room, and there are a lot of people that do that. They get an overdose, and they go immediately to the emergency room, and they become victims of that system. And I just never thought about it. I always thought, well, you have to have a car accident, you have to have some sort of an accident to be in a vulnerable situation. But when you think of all of the people, I mean, they could just go out and pick people up off the street who are inebriated or anything else. It is pretty awful.
Yes, it is awful. And of course, the number of people who were a percentage of those who were organ donors in 2013, 3% of the organ donors were overdosed. But in 2015, that increased to 19%, and it's going to be much higher in 2016. And it's just amazing to me how this organ transplant industry can take advantage of the drug addict who's overdoses. I suspect a lot of them, it's accidental overdose, and
sure.
They didn't do it on purpose. Even if they did it on purpose, that would be awful enough. But they don't do it on purpose. They have no idea that they're going to overdose. Many times, it's somebody who was in treatment and then they relapse and they take whatever they were taking before when they were on it continually. And then it has such a greater impact on them, and to me, it's just awful. One should never do anything to harm or to hurt another person, but to take unfair advantage of those that are uninformed, those that are defenseless, those that are unconscious. It's just awful what they're doing, and I think that the general public, the same as I'm upset about it, you're upset, Bernice is upset, I think the general public would be upset as at least as much as we are, maybe even more. This program is to provide information for people. And our goal and objective is to always provide truthful information and be as accurate and as complete as we can be, which is the way we've been since we started our study of this subject. And I started more than 30 years ago to study this as to what's happening in the brain death and organ transplant industry.
Right. Right. And of course, there was the meeting at Harvard, and they decided that they were going to create a new category of death, which they call brain death. And that changed everything. And it is my understanding that one body, the harvest of one body, brings in 11.2 million to the hospital. I mean, that's a lot of money. And
yes.
It's just amazing.
The organ transplant industry, the billed through hospital bills, and that $21 billion in 2014. And so it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And it's completely dependent on getting healthy organs to carry out their activities. Destroyed organs won't work. That's what you get from a cadaver, destroyed organs. You can't transplant them. Whenever they do a heart transplant, it's a healthy heart that's beating when they cut it out. And yes, they do cool it and that kind of thing and reduce the activity. And then when they transplant it into the recipient, it is the same healthy heart that's beating in the recipient. That heart was not destroyed in between. The heart was a healthy heart when it was cut out. That was a healthy heart cut out of a living person. The living person gets dead. And then the recipient gets the heart, and the heart beats in the recipient.
Exactly. All righty. We're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zipa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting a guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zipa.com now. Zyppah.com. We're not going to tolerate this, all right? Snoring is not okay. Someone next to you is snoring, you tell them to buy a Zipa. Zyppah.com. I know that you're listening to these snoring things and you're thinking, well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems. A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you got to stop it. What you got to do is get this fixed. Get a Zipa and change your life. Zyppah.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And our guests the last 2 hours are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. And the website that you want to visit is lifeguardianfoundation.org. And when you visit that website, you may acquire a booklet that talks about how to protect your and preserve your God-given life. That you can get the medical cards, which come with a booklet, and you sign those, because if you do not oppose this by having something written, then you are an organ donor. It's presumptive. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So anyway, Bernice, you sent me a, 4 pages from a medical journal. And I appreciate you doing that. And it's ordinary people don't read medical journals. They don't know what's going on. And when you
Well, neither did I. There was a time when I didn't either. Deanna, I had no reason to, right?
Exactly.
I was oblivious.
Until September 24th, 1999.
Yes.
Tell us briefly what happened.
You know, this is so hard to talk about because it's two-sided. There's side one, what we experienced as a family, just observing only what we could see. And the other half of this is the startling truth of what was actually happening behind closed doors, everything that we did not know. my son Brandon, a 16-year-old, healthy football player, loved life, was playing with a gun, and 911 was called. He had shot himself in the head. We had no idea what was happening behind the scenes. Brandon was an organ donor. He was unconscious at the time of the accident, and right up until the time he was loaded in the ambulance. We did not know. We were not told at the hospital that Brandon had regained consciousness. It was written in his in the documents of the ambulance with the EMTs that he was using purposeful movement with his left arm. This is when they were trying to intubate him. Mm-hmm. He was then given two drugs, one a paralyzing drug.
They did that in the ambulance.
They did this in the ambulance.
Oh,
this paralyzing drug would cross the brain membrane. This was inserted intravenously into his bloodstream. It's the same drug that they would use as a droplet to put in your eyes when you go and have an eye examination. This is a drug that is known to cause pupil dilation. We didn't know anything about this. Brandon was paralyzed. And then...
Now, when you call the ambulance, they sent a particular, from a trauma center, they sent an ambulance with the intention of using this paralyzing drug to prep him before he even got to the hospital to extract his organs. Because he was an organ donor, right?
He was an organ donor. He was destined to die as an organ donor. But we were told at the hospital that he was totally unsalvageable.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
He could not be salvaged. And, you know, that struck us.
Just
me
the words.
Especially the words. But since then, I have found them throughout the scientific reviews. This is common. And this is the reason why they labeled him instantaneously a fatal head injury. And a lot of the literature that you can read about it, they'll say a lethal head injury. And the reason for this is because he was destined as an organ donor. Everything
right.
is set up.
Okay. I hate to cut off here, but we do need to take a 3-minute break. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests the last 2 hours today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones, and the website that you want to visit, that you must visit, is lifeguardianfoundation.org, and find out what you can do to prevent this from happening to you, from having your organs extracted. Bernice, I'm sorry we had to cut out there for a commercial break, and you were talking about Brandon and what happened to him, and on September 24th, 1999, in the ambulance, they actually gave him a paralyzing drug because he was an organ donor. He had signed up when he got his license, his driver's license, and they reported, apparently, that he had a lethal head injury. Correct?
Yeah, they had already declared him dead, literally, in the ambulance, because this is what they foresaw, is Brandon being utilized as a dehumanized person, and that's what it's all about. But what they did was try to intubate him. So they gave him a paralyzing drug. Then they gave him two doses of Valium afterwards.
Due to the side effects.
Now, remember, when we get into the story, I don't know anything about this, neither does our family. They get him to the ER, The doctor comes out and tells us there's no hope. He couldn't even breathe on his own. He used the words, a breathing machine. He didn't tell us that he was put on a ventilator. That would have been the accurate medical term. He also told us that he was not salvageable and that there's nothing that could be done for him. Well, my husband stood up and said, he demanded that they do everything they could to take care of him. Brain dead didn't mean anything to us. The only thing that we understood is Brandon's still alive. So take care
right.
of him.
Right.
But what happened at ER is that he was responding to pain, and he was breathing on his own. But they go ahead, in order to ventilate him, they administer drugs. And, of course, he fought them because there had been no reason to give him a paralyzing drug, followed by a high dose of pain reliever, another paralyzing drug, another pain reliever, and another paralyzing drug. Now, this is something that you couldn't or wouldn't do if somebody was not responding. We're just laying there limp, obviously.
Sure.
It required this to take him down. And I mean that, exactly what I'm saying, to take him down.
Right.
Make it so that he was totally defenseless. We waited, which seemed to be an eternity. We were told that they were going to take him into surgery. And when the surgery had ended, the doctor came in and told us that, oh, we could go in and say goodbye to him, that there was nothing that could be done. He was definitely brain dead. And to come in and say our goodbyes, there are no words to express or to even to explain the horror of our family. Through this whole horrible hospital situation. And, but we were told to leave the room, that there was going to be a test performed. We didn't even ask. We didn't even ask about a test. We come to find out later that this isn't a test. It was supposed to be a test to determine whether or not he could breathe on his own, the apnea test,
mm-hmm.
which, in truth, it is a procedure to make sure that that brain-injured person's brain would swell. Brandon was truly suffocated in this procedure, and the carbon dioxide filled his bloodstream, and this caused extreme brain swelling. And they didn't perform it once, they performed it twice. But this is supposed to be the confirmatory test, a prerequisite to declaring brain death. The truth is, a bedside evaluation, a clinical bedside evaluation, was performed on Brandon. And this was a 5 easy step just to see if he was going to respond to pain that was inflicted on him, in which he couldn't respond because he was filled with paralyzing drugs.
Sure.
And pain-relieving medication. He had just come out of surgery. But also, the paralyzing drugs they had used on him is a depressant for breathing. And for them to declare him dead, which was not supposed to be legally acceptable upon a clinical evaluation, they had already done that. And then they followed it up with two apnea tests while he was under the influence of very potent drugs.
Wow.
So I've been asked before, well, what should they have done so that it would have followed a legal? There isn't any rules or regulations that are going to control these people. They make them up as they go along.
Sure.
Their feet cannot be held to the fire. They're in control.
Right.
But one thing that I do want to make very clear is that there are two things that have come, that was brought to our attention. The same year that Brandon's accident happened is when the Federal Register imposed a law on all hospitals, making it mandatory that all hospitals comply with organ donation protocol. So the reason why they had to get Brandon on a ventilator, ASAP, was so that they could call the organ procurement organization.
Wow.
And this was when a designated requester was called, mandated by law that somebody in that hospital had to call them. So this woman in the blue suit that we were introduced to take us to wait for Brandon during the time he was in surgery, we didn't find out until after Brandon had been declared dead that we were introduced. She was introduced as being the organ procurement agent.
Wow.
And then she made her request. But this woman comes in, and she orchestrates, or he or she orchestrates, everything that happens that goes on. The Organ Donation Collaborative in 2006 was really important because what it did is it certified hospital staff to coordinate with the transplant industry in taking captive patients.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is their job to put on what I call a theatrical performance. Instead of treating the organ donor with aggressive and immediate care to protect and preserve that person's life, they're handed over to palliative care team. And what that means is that they get minimal medical therapy. Because truly, until the declaration of death is made in any form and way in which they would like to do it, it isn't until that time that the person who is now an organ donor is treated aggressively. They don't help the patient until they know that they have taken them captive as an organ donor, because this is where the money is at.
Right.
And they receive, the OPO, the Organ Procurement Organization, receives 244% repayment from CMS in donor care charges. So there's been a problem for a long time on this waiting period. They have the patient in the hospital. They're trying to convince the parents, the family, et cetera, that there's no hope. They're trying to pressure them to give up their loved one as an organ donor, because they're going to die anyway, right?
Sure.
And, but there's this lag time, because until that person is handed over as an organ donor legally in the declaration of brain death, the family members are responsible for the medical bills. Once that declaration of brain death is made, then it is handed over to the OPO, and they want to be able to manage donor care, and that's what it's called. Now, I want everybody to understand this language, donor care. My son was a living, breathing human person who is experiencing pain, moving in response to it. He's breathing on his own. We were told that his ICP, his intracranial pressure, was at the highest that it could be when we were in visiting him to say our goodbyes, and come to find out it had dropped dramatically in that time. So we were lied to. We were lied to so repeatedly. It was so well orchestrated. If you are not aware, you're caught up and the emotional and shock of being a parent, of being a loved one. And you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And to what extent, it's still hard for me to believe it or not, after everything I've read and everything I've studied, it is hard for me to believe that there could be any entity within our medical system that could do this to another human person. 19 hours after Brandon was declared brain dead and certified dead, which means he had a death certificate, which states he was dead at 8 p.m. one evening, and the following day, 19 hours later, he's given a paralyzing drug and anesthesia because they're going to roll him in for over a four-hour living dissection, which includes his beating heart. I can't even tell you what this revelation brought to our family. It's something we still suffer with. And something I want to make really, really clear, of all the people that I've talked to, you have to understand that most organ donors, there is an accident. You know, these young men are really sought after. A young man has a strong heart and is more adaptable to being transplanted. And they are sought after. This is a valuable commodity. Your loved one is no longer considered a living, breathing, heart-beating, circulating person. They're considered a commodity. This is slavery. This is what I call the 21st century slave trade. This multi-billion dollar industry that Dr. Byrne talked about, a multi-billion dollar industry to take captive people, are defenseless, are innocent, and then sell them off piece by piece, dead or alive, and whole or part, a person is sold. And people do not realize how large this is. It is a monstrosity. I call it an empirical industry of death. And they feed off people being admitted into hospitals. And if you do not have this truth, and if you do not understand it, then you're subjected to what my son went through. And then in 2006, the revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act went in. And this states, this law states, that everyone is presumed to be an organ donor unless you have it in writing, refusal in writing, that you are not an organ donor. Then you have to go through the steps to take it off the DMV pool. So you have to go through this. But I encourage everybody to get our paperwork and fill that out and do take your name off the transplant list. Because what I call it, the transplant list, is called the donor pool on the TMC. But you're the one, you, the living person, the patient that's going into the hospital, are going to fulfill that quota and all those organs that they need to be the multi-billion dollar organization that they are today. And the HIPAA law went into effect in 2003, and there are 14 ways they can get your organs, and I mean 14 ways they can use your medical information without your knowledge or consent, and one of those is for organ donation. So literally, your medical records are opened up, and everything is dispatched on behalf of organ donation. And that is the way it goes. I mean, everything is set up to get those vital organs and tissues. Most people believe that it is only vital organs that they're after. But they're after anything and everything they can get their hands on. Your skin, your bones, your tendons, your ligaments, your veins, your eyes. These are These are just horrendous actions taken against both the living and the dead. We're not supposed to be a commodity for anybody for any reason. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell, Deanna.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm thankful. You take on my sorrow.
We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All right, we are back. We're back. That was a very short break. I think what affects me so much about this is the inhumanity of the entire process, the deliberate deception, and what they're doing to people while they are still alive is so troubling, and I do feel your pain, Bernice. I mean, I think of my own children, and I don't know how. I know that your husband does not talk about this, and I applaud you for your strength and your courage that you can talk about this because it does help other people.
Well, I promised God I would do it. And that's the only reason why I do it, because my whole family, my entire family, won't talk about it. See, one of the most horrifying things about this is that once the family is made aware, and most people are made aware, they know something is really wrong. You ask questions in the hospital, you're standing on your head practically demanding that your loved one is taken care of, and nobody seems to really care. They're already calling them, you know, brain dead, and you're in such a state of confusion. Literally, I was physically nauseous during this time, and I'm doing everything that I can to hold myself together for my family. I'm doing absolutely everything I can do in prayer to keep reaching out. And the horrifying thought is when I, you know, when you know that you come to find out later that a person that you think was a part of the hospital staff that is truly concerned about your family and my son, they're the designated requester for the organ transplant industry. I mean, it is so, yeah, it's unbelievable, and it is so, the only word I can use for it is evil. It is evil, but I keep talking out about it in hopes that somebody hears and reaches out and gets the information and will be able to knowledgeably stand in defense for their loved one. And I just keep trying. That's the only thing I can do is just keep trying.
And I applaud both you and Dr. Byrne for doing this. It's just amazing because people do not think that when they go to the hospital, we've all been indoctrinated and we all believe that some of us have learned differently, that when you go to the hospital, you're going to get help. You don't go to the hospital to get murdered and slaughtered and harvested and we just need to rethink things and re-educate ourselves, and that's what you and Dr. Byrne are doing, is re-educating people, because people, it just seems unbelievable that this would happen. We're supposed to live in this, you know, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.